Hey guys, you're listening to the Crosswalk Podcast. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Chuck. Here at Crosswalk, we get together to have honest and raw conversations about how real faith in Jesus meets real life.
If you haven't already, or if you guys are new to the channel, then go ahead and hit that like button or maybe even that subscribe so that you guys can know when we drop future episodes. We hope that you guys enjoy the episode. All right, guys, well, welcome back to Crosswalk, where real faith meets real life. Man, I have a special treat for you guys today. We have Brother James Roberts with us, the man himself. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. Feels good. I'll say it again. This feels like Shutdown 2.3. There's not a live audience, or actually, yeah. I'm not standing in front of people, you know, so this is a little bit different. But
I tell you, preaching to nobody in the room is weird, isn't it?
It really is weird.
It messes with you.
It's almost like talking to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to get an argument.
Okay, but I got to ask, though. Have you ever preached with just you and God?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because, you know, it's kind of one of those things, to get better at something, you got to get reps in.
Oh, man, I preached to cattle before.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah, I've been at a pastor. Stood up.
Gives a whole new meaning to holy cow, right?
But no, it's cool. It's cool. I'm glad that we were able to have him in here today, because worked out really well. We've been on this through the book series, and so we've kind of
We've been hitting Paul's letters.
Yes, Paul's letters. We've been through a lot of them. I figure we're gonna keep going on this route. But
I think so. Yeah.
It's been really, really good and really interesting.
Is this our fourth one? This is our fourth one of Paul's letters.
Third
or fourth?
No. Right. Oh, this is the fourth, because we did Philippians, James, and now we're in Romans.
Well, James is written by James. But.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
We did take a break from Paul. We went to James. That's right.
Go to James. Yeah, so this is the third
Letters
of
the New Testament.
Fourth of the Through the Book series. Mm-hmm. So, but today we're going to be in Romans, checking out some really cool stuff. And it's just, I tell you what, it's really funny how God works sometimes. Because it seems like this theme that we've kind of picked out here has reoccurred so many times.
Oh yeah, so we're reading through the letters and everything, and the thing that we come away with is that our culture is more distracted than ever. I think we're distracted by so many things, and you know, I find myself from time to time, like I actually deleted Facebook off my phone.
Oh yeah, for
and
sure.
Periodically, like I'll jump on to share this, or like they got that virtual revival going on right now. I'll jump on and share that, and then honestly, I'll delete the app again. Just so it's not even on my phone, because it's like all of a sudden you just scroll and you think, I'm just going to check a few notifications. The next thing you know, it's 15 or 20 minutes or more.
And well, so that's where the new thing that they have on the updates for the where it tracks how long you've been on your phone.
Yes,
dude, those are scary sometimes. Okay, every time I get like the weekly report, I'm like, when was I on my phone that much? Like,
and I was checking mine. Really, I was trying to use that. I even set the time limits on the apps. But then eventually, it reaches a point where I'm like, I'll hit the five more minutes.
It gives you an option to skip it, which is like that totally just defeats the point, because I'm not strong enough to say no. I'm just going to say five more minutes.
The competition for your clicks is fierce.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah.
Everybody's going after individuals now more than ever. You know, used to, you could watch a commercial at the movies, and they had all the commercials at the very beginning because that was a captive audience.
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't do that. Now it's, they have a captive audience as one. So it's, they're able to individualize it. And that's why it's so difficult, because, man, we're feeding on that as a society.
Yeah.
Well, how often do you look something up online, and the next thing you know, it's on Facebook and Instagram ads?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm telling you, I'm about convinced that I've just spoken things to people in my household and seen ads on Facebook.
No, dude, I have, for real, dude. We was at the shop one day with my brother-in-law, Randy, and we was talking about hunting, and he had said something about a new a bow knock that had come out that I'd never heard of before, never researched it. I didn't even know that they made them. It was like a Bluetooth knock, like so you could track your arrows.
Oh, yeah, so you can track
it. Something crazy, like I'd never heard of. And
that's pretty cool.
5 minutes later, I'm on Facebook, and there's an ad for it. And I'd never researched nothing like that. I didn't even know it existed. So I'm like, man, they're listening to us.
It's a conspiracy, man.
My FBI agent.
Yeah. It worries me. It really does. Because like I've started working out real pretty consistently again, a little bit really before the new year. But it's freaking me out, because everything on Facebook is health related and like workout related. And I'm like, I haven't looked anything up. Whoa. I haven't searched anything. And I'm like, maybe it's just because it's January and they know people are doing that.
Mm-hmm. We're,
I hope.
We're
but,
living in Radiator Springs. You know, you've seen the movie Cars and
yes.
the fans watching the stoplight.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
No, but that it works out but really it, good. And I'm glad he
fed,
said
yeah,
that.
It fed us into this because we were talking about these distractions, and we've gotten to the point where 2020 was just outrageous. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't say the word 2020 without with a straight face, without laughing.
I got shivers when you did it.
Yeah.
I was like,
ugh.
And,
PTSD from...
and I think we all, I know specifically, we actually mentioned this an episode or two ago, Pastor James. You had preached last January on vision. Mm-hmm. And you'd had me do a Sunday morning or a Sunday night at some yep. point and everything. And we kind of fed right into the same things. And we had talked about that. And then a few months later, I got the chance to fill in again. And we were talking about, you know, once you've caught that vision, the fact that we need resilience to see it through. And 2020 was a real test of that.
Yeah.
And we've all set out with a vision for something in life, you know, whether it's our marriage or whether it's, you know, being parents, you know, good parents to our kids or a school goal or, you know, degree or things. We got all kinds of things going on. And I try to speak to the different demographics that we have listening, because when we look at them, they're kind of all over the board.
Right.
You know, so maybe there was a few up there. You know, maybe you're trying to be a good grandparent, even, you know, whatever it is. But we don't set out to sabotage those things.
Right.
We don't set out from the get-go to go, you know, we don't go into marriage wanting a divorce.
Right.
We don't go into parenting wanting to screw up our kids. We don't go into school wanting to flunk out. You know, we don't go into church, you know, expecting to drop out, expecting to, I mean, 5 years ago, if you'd told your mom you were going to miss church for 6 weeks, let alone 6 months, you're backslidden, you know, you know, it was wild. Nobody planned for these things, but we've gotten so distracted.
And by the way, your pastor still thinks if you miss for 6 weeks, you're backslidden.
Get in church.
There you go. Throw it in there.
No,
make that plug.
That
but it fed
perfectly.
Yeah, it fed us into this kind of reoccurring thing that we've been looking at as we've gone through these. And so I'll
turn
it over to Caleb.
Well, we had talked when we were first doing sort of this topic and this theme. The first thing that came to my mind was the Olympic Games of 2004. And I don't know, have you ever heard of Matt Emmons?
Yeah, Matt Emmons.
Matt Emmons.
Well, it not many people have, actually, unless you watch.
Well, he's known more
Olympic.
He's known more for the gold medals that he has lost.
Yes.
Rather than the gold medals he has won.
World class rifle.
Three position rifle shooter. And which I told you wrong the other day. I thought it was a winter sport, and it's not.
Oh no! I actually looked it up. So this is interesting. You continue, and I'll explain in a minute, because what you told me there is actually some.
No,
truth
it is.
To it.
Yes, there yeah. is. There is. Okay, so what I told Chuck was totally wrong.
I had never heard of this sport. Okay, have you ever heard of the biathlon?
Yes.
They ski, and then they do three position shooting.
Yes.
I had never seen it.
Yeah.
No, he was
now,
he was
honestly, that's just probably more of me. Like, I'd get in more to the summer games than the winter games.
Yeah.
But I was blown. I'm like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
I've
he,
never skied.
He had no idea. He had no idea this was.
But I'm like,
thing.
That is so cool.
Okay. And you, Pastor James, you've shot guns. Okay. You yep. you love guns. You know, yep. you got them. And you know how hard it can be sometimes to stand, even in prone position, which is, if you don't know anything about guns or shooting, you know, your prone position would be your easiest shot. You're laying down, you're the most stable.
Mm-hmm.
The three position is that you would have a laying down prone shot, a kneeling shot, and then a standing shot. And your standing shot is obviously going to be your hardest, most difficult shot, because when you're standing, you don't have any stabilization. It's going off freehand, and it's hard. Well, I told Chuck that this was a Winter Olympics and that this was the biathlon, but I was wrong. So I want to correct myself on saying that this was the Summer Olympics of 2004. But Matt Emmons, where he fits into our lesson today is that he was a professional three-position 50-meter rifle event shooter. And in the 2004 Olympics, he was so far
absolutely
ahead in his
knocking it out of the park.
Oh, yeah. He was killing it. He was so far ahead that literally all he had to do was hit the target, and he would have won. He was on his last shot. You know, because they do like shot segments of like, you know, 5-10 shots, whatever the case may be.
And when we say hit the target, we mean almost anywhere on the paper.
Yes, not the bullseye. He literally just had to
like
hit
anywhere.
The paper, and he would have won gold medal. Okay, and so Matt Emmons, when he gets up to his lineup, he, you know, because they have a certain amount of seconds that they can take to prepare mm-hmm. themselves and get the shot done. So he lines up, he gets focused in, something distracted.
Well, what he does, I actually read up a little more on Matt, and what Matt would do is he would normally go up and focus the number mm-hmm. of the lane he was shooting in
yes.
on the target, focus the number in his crosshairs, and drop down to the bullseye.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they're trained to shoot literally in between heartbeats.
Right, yeah.
You know, and say it was just wild, you know, everything. Well, he goes up and he kind of drops in and, I mean, drills it, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, he dead centers it. He goes in through there, he takes a deep breath, lets half of it out, and he squeezes the trigger, the shot goes off. Well, they have big
like
scorecards
perfect.
That go up, you know, where you can see where they've scored, and they have cameras close up on the bullseyes and stuff. Well, you don't see a shot place on the bullseye on the camera, and the score doesn't change. And so Matt Emmons confused because he knows he hit his mark. He questions it. And so all the judges get together, and they're talking about it and dispersing among it, and the lead judge stands up and explains that Matt Emmons has scored zero, that Matt Emmons has crossfired and shot into another lane. He hit the bullseye
on the wrong target.
On the wrong target. Matt Emmons had missed his
yes.
mark.
He dropped to what, eighth or something?
He dropped to eighth place. He didn't even place in the finals. Didn't even podium. He was in the eighth place. And so that fits perfectly into a perfect example for us because he was distracted.
Yes.
He was confused.
He was distracted. He didn't have his sights set on the right thing. And we don't set out to do that. I mean, and that's the thing is I think so many times I see so many people who are so successful at something. They've hit the bullseye, mm-hmm. but it's the wrong target. Mm-hmm. It's the wrong mark. And so I feel like the theme that's kind of been building around the beginning of this year is, you know, if the cross is not in your crosshairs, it's time to refocus.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what we've been building to. And so we were kind of reading through and we're like, you know what? We want to tackle Romans, but not the whole thing because it's huge. And Paul really laid out some deep stuff in there. And we got to looking at it and we're like, you know, man, we're really not the first people who really struggle with this because, you know, different than a lot of his other letters, this was a letter to people he never met. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a church that he started. But I think that's what he was trying to get at here is that it was a need to refocus, a need to lay out some good foundational theology for them to really focus and put in their crosshairs mm-hmm. so that they would hit the mark in life.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I think you used a word there, and I'm jumping way ahead, and we may go back.
Nah, bro, jump ahead.
We jump all around.
Branch off, baby. Let's go.
Because I was thinking the key word in Romans chapter 7, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Paul deals with is struggle.
Yeah.
That's the key to the entire chapter.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk about struggle, Romans chapter 7 is your chapter out of the first eight. And so I think you're right. I mean, I was thinking, as you were saying there, too, about missing the mark and how he... You know, he got distracted. I was thinking about a word. 2020 to me is a blur. When you say 2020.
Yeah, blur is a good word.
Yeah.
So.
Blur is a good word.
Yeah. If you take that word and you think about what we were talking about to begin 2020 and this vision and having 2020 vision, it didn't take very long for there to be a blur.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a pandemic. It kind of blurred out whatever vision we were trying to share.
Yeah.
Even... me as a pastor, us as Christians, families, you know, we were distracted, or some of the things that we had clear vision on January 1, 2020, by April 1, 2020,
yeah.
there had been a blur.
Mm.
The sad part about that is you're talking about the cross bit and the crosshairs. There were things that happened in that first 30, 60-day shutdown that even the cross became a blur.
The
very center of everything that we as believers hang our hat on, everything we believe, became a blur.
Yeah.
You know, everything that we had been used to was a blur. And because of that, it caused us to be distracted from what we know is the center of everything that we believe in.
Yeah.
That is mm-hmm. Christ crucified. It is the cross of Christ with other believers. So therefore, it interrupted not only... we had this blurred vision and this distraction, but because of that, it caused us to move away from, as believers, what we know to be truth, absolute truth, and that is that it takes the cross of Calvary, the blood of Christ, death, burial, resurrection, the whole nine yards, to keep us focused, because again, it's the center of everything.
Yeah.
If the crosshairs anywhere is going to be in the center where the cross is. If we don't have that in the center, then there's no way we can direct anybody else anywhere.
Exactly.
Well, that's a reoccurring theme that we see constantly throughout the Bible is every single time that somebody takes their focus or their vision off of Christ, I mean, what happens to them? They all the time, they always sink. They always have a problem. They always run into to something.
Peter sinks when he takes his eyes off Jesus. Sinks. You know, you've got John the Baptist. Nobody greater born of woman. Mm. You know, and he gets in a prison cell.
And loses his hope.
And he loses his hope, and he's like, go ask Jesus if he's the dude or not. Right? Is it him, or are we waiting for somebody else? Right. You know, and because we'd hit that a couple weeks ago
in an episode.
But I think that's what happened to a lot of us. Something hit. It was a disruption. It was, a blur. Man, blur is a good word. Well, it was an absolute blur, and it really took our eyes off of all of that.
Well, I'm actually glad that P. James had actually mentioned chapter 7 in the beginning, actually, because that's actually really funny. Because today, earlier, we had kind of talked out some of our key points and kind of how we wanted to go with some of this.
Very loosely.
And... we, in the middle of talking about it, I'd texted Chuck later on that day, and I'd asked him, I was like, chapter 7 is really getting me. And I was like, we're starting, because obviously our foundation, our problem starts with sin. And, you know, Paul lays that out for us. Our problem
starts with our sin. We all kind of agreed. You know, Paul is real nice up front, and he talks to him, and he's got this great greeting, and like, hey, I'm an apostle because of Jesus. It's not of man. It's not, you know, anything that I've done. It was like he called me out of the mess I was in and into this. And then all of a sudden, he's like, all right, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, so here it is. And he lays into them.
Well, that's what makes it
so
interesting.
He lays into, well, really everybody, not just his readers, all of humanity about sin.
Well, that's what I was saying that makes it so interesting is that he started with chapter 7 is because I had actually, when I had messaged you, I had asked, like, it's so weird because Paul goes through all these chapters. He goes through the gospel story, and he presents the gospel to these people, and he presents their sin problem. He presents the solution to this problem. But then we hit chapter 7, it's like we take a back turn because he kind of readdresses that sin. Mm-hmm. He's like, I do the things that I don't want to do. I don't do the things I do want to do. And he's like, what wretched filth I am. And it's like a great reminderance of the sin and our constant battle between our flesh and our spirit. And so I text Chuck and I'm like, I almost feel like we should start with 7. I don't want to skip around.
Yeah.
It's like, it starts with 7.
Yeah, and I think that's really good because the way that, you know, a lot of listeners on the podcast are believers already. And Paul kind of lays out in the first three chapters, it's just this general case against that everybody is sinful. And then we turn into salvation by grace, and we turn into this assurance of salvation. And then he hits 6, and it's like building, and it's like, okay, we're moving on, we're living, we're starting to live out the Christian life and do these things. And then he's like,
and then 2020 comes.
And then 2020 comes, right? And so, and then chapter 7 comes, and he's like, you know, we have built all this stuff, but I don't want you guys to think that I've got it all together.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two words that come to mind. If we're going to start with chapter 7, that's cool with me because I love that chapter. Is what we're really talking about here when you say it, then 2020 came, it is exactly what Paul's talking about in chapter 7. He's talking about, if you read it, he's talking about powerless sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a deep concept.
Oh, yeah.
Because again, like you said, he's been building, he's talking about sin, he's talking about general sin, he's talking about lost people. We get chapter 7. Then he's talking about those that have been sanctified.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about the justified. And so he's talking about what happens when we become powerless, even in our sanctification, when we feel like we're powerless. I mean, that's kind of those two words. When you talk about chapter 7, you have to talk about powerless sanctification as a believer. Are we powerless?
And wouldn't you agree that'd be when people get their eyes off the cross? They're like, grace got me in, but now myself, my works have got to keep me here.
Because we know we have the power through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
But when do we always get in trouble? It's when we take our, just like Peter, you said a minute ago, when we take our eyes off of Christ or we take our eyes off the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, the cross does to all of us. The cross humbles us and puts man in his place.
Yeah. Right. And that's really our first kind of big point. Like if you find yourself right now and you're like, okay, 2021, I need to refocus. The first thing you've got to do, you've got to recognize your sin, recognize and admit your filth.
Yes.
Yeah.
recognize and admit that, you know what, your sex life is a wreck. Your finances are a wreck. Your own heart, even if it's nothing that, that anybody else knows about, your own mind, your own thoughts are a wreck.
Yes. No, and I think that's, and I had heard, I don't know if I had talked to you about this or if we had mentioned this, like I completely spaced on it, but I think it's really cool because when you keep coming back to the cross and you keep coming back to Jesus, it's like this concept that you're talking about the generational thing with the gospel, okay? And our whole goal with this podcast, particularly today, is that we need to get back to the gospel. We need to get back to the basics, okay? Mm-hmm. We need to stop missing the mark. We need to hit the mark. We need to get back to the basics. And that
we heard it. What was the part? He had said basically, like, you know, you have a generation that really
you have
a generation that really latches onto the gospel, and they're in lockstep with it, right where they need to be. And then a generation comes after them who simply assumes the gospel without it being the true center of everything, and without it being the true center of even everything that they say and they proclaim to the world. And so because it's just simply assumed, they get so caught up in a lot of the entailments, in the consequences of the gospel, in the way that we do church, in the way that we do life and things, they get caught up in the entailments. Well, then the next generation comes along because you had a generation that just assumed the gospel. Eventually, you get to a generation that denies the gospel.
Right.
And all they care about are the entailments, powerless sanctification.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put that.
And it puts the gospel behind us instead of in front of us. And I just have like this picture in my head of, like, you know, Jesus hung there on the cross, okay? And when he paid that fine for our sins, you know, when he did that for us, you know, and he was taken off that cross was cemented there. Man, that cross is there to stand, not just for what happened 2,000 years ago, but for even what happens today, because it still matters. That grace still abounds. That grace was enough. And it still holds to this day. And whenever we take the gospel out of it, when we take the gospel and put it behind us, it's like we're trying to go back up there, and we're trying to take that cross out of the ground, and we're trying to carry it back down the mountain on our backs. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're trying to say, oh, look at me carrying the cross. Look at me carrying the gospel. You know, look at me, look at what I'm doing for the gospel. When in fact, it's the other way around, because that cross can't be pulled out. That cross is cemented where it is. That grace has already, it's already paid its price, and there's nothing that we can do to make that in place of it. And so we have to stop.
And then we turn around and we wonder, why are we where we're at?
Exactly. And it's like, because we've taken the gospel out of the context, when in fact, you know, we need to get back to where the gospel is. We need to go back to that mountain that Jesus was crucified on, and get back to the
having
cross.
A form of godliness,
absolutely,
but denying the power.
Yeah.
Right. What really happens, what you just said, is a perfect example of powerless sanctification as a believer. What happens is, see, there's no good in old nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's no good in old nature, but by nature, we're good at going back to the old nature.
Yeah. No kidding. Right.
So what happens is, there's another word there. It shackles us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We get shackled. There's no good in old nature, and there's no power in new nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, you're shackled when we start wanting to pick up our cross and not necessarily carrying our cross.
Right.
But taking the
trying to carry a cross that wasn't given to
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. And then we become no good for nothing. I mean,
that brought us right back into that other point that we was wanting to make, is that we have recognized our own filth. We have recognized the mess we've made. We've recognized that we have been distracted. We recognize that we have sinned because of it. And we've had we've been unfocused.
I'm going to jump in right here with something from chapter 7 here. The analogy that Paul gives, he gives an illustration for marriage to start things off in chapter 7.
Right, yeah.
You know, and he's like, okay, if somebody, you know, here, I'll just read it. Since I'm speaking to those who understand law, brothers, are you unaware that the law has authority over someone as long as he lives? For example, if a married woman is legally bound to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she's released from the law regarding the husband. So then if she gives herself to another man while her husband is living, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law. Then if she gives herself to another man, she is not an adulteress. And what's happening right now, he says, you know what? You died. You died to yourself, and you died to your sin, and you were raised to newness of life, and now you're trying to go back to that old husband.
Yeah.
You're trying to go back to that old way of law. You're trying to put shackles on that I have already broken. Mm-hmm. And you're carrying those around. and it's dragging you down. I mean, I can't imagine. It's hard enough. I'm not the greatest shot ever. I'm actually not very good at all. But I can't imagine trying to shoot a target with weights on.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine having chains on even one arm trying to shoot a rifle, standing position? Yeah. No way.
Or doing anything for that matter. I mean, just your daily activities would be nearly impossible. And that whole thing that you'd said about marriage, that's kind of cool because, the way I think about it is that, which I'm married and we've actually, me and Carrie are coming up on almost a year now. Do you know that we've almost been married a year?
Oh, yeah.
It'll be in a couple weeks.
I said next month.
Yeah, next month. Yeah.
Wow.
It's like 3 weeks away. Yeah.
It's part of the blur.
Part of the blur. Yeah, we've almost been married a year.
Oh, man.
Okay, so I know blur. That.
Hey, that makes me think of throwback to the days when we watched Flash. Or no, it was Smallville.
Dude, yeah. Smallville.
It was Smallville. Yeah. They called him the Blur on a few episodes because they didn't have a good name.
No, but we've almost been married a year, and I know that we're still young in the marriage phase and stuff. But I just think about it, and I'm like, if I compare my relationship to Carrie as in a marriage, and I compare my relationship to Cross as in a marriage, once me and Carrie had got married, I can't stop taking her on dates. Okay, I can't stop kissing on her and loving on her and showing how much I appreciate her and bringing her flowers every day, okay? And the same thing happens with our relationship with God. I mean, what happens whenever we do what it takes to want to be accepted and we, accept God and we accept His love, but then as soon as we feel accepted by Him and we just shove Him away, we stop showing being attentive to the relationship.
Yeah.
And so it's like in a marriage relationship or even, this relationship status that we have with Christ, like we can't do that. We have to be attentive to this relationship because, and I picture that as my relationship mm-hmm. with my wife because.
Well, and a lot of people have it in their vows, it's forsaking all others.
Yes.
It's kind of the wording that a lot of people put. Pastor, you know it better than I do. You perform ceremonies, but.
I just think it's kind of ironic, kind of funny too. You got Paul talking about marriage here.
I know, right?
that's kind of one of the things I always said. I don't know what the Lord will let me do or ask or anybody, but I'd like to go to Paul and go, Paul, what gave you authority in chapter 10? And then he starts talking. I mean, he's really given an example of a woman being shackled.
Yeah, yeah.
To her husband, and when she's not shackled and when she is shackled. And so I just thought that was kind of ironic.
It is ironic, actually.
Let's be honest. You read the New Testament, he gives more instruction on marriage than anybody,
even
Jesus.
Yeah, he does. I don't
convenient.
Get it.
Convenient.
I wish I had something there, but I got
nothing.
I just see.
But what do they say, that you have to be outside the situation looking in to give good advice,
I guess Paul had no emotions riding on it, so I don't know, but.
Yeah, I mean, when he got home, who was he going to answer to? I mean, if he was wrong,
he would have no idea of knowing.
Yeah, he's still going to eat fish, man. He don't care. He's still going to eat that. He's good. So, but yeah, I think chapter 7, I'm glad we started there.
Because me too.
I think we know Paul cranks out, and as I said, even before we got started, He Paul's kind of a howdy fella there at the very beginning in chapter mm-hmm. number one, and then he kind of gives you his purpose for why he's addressing, and then he hits the sin thing. And then we spend chapters on sin, those who have never accepted Christ, those who don't understand the cross. As a matter of fact, the cross to those it's foolishness to them.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand it. And then it kind of builds towards chapter 7, and then we talk about this powerless sanctification, and then he goes into chapter 8, which is, the opposite of the powerless.
Oh my goodness, it's like about the most victorious chapter in the New Testament.
It talks about powerful sanctification then, and it gives us really, as believers, our rights as believers in this whole, man, I am sanctified. You know what peace that gives me, even in the blur.
Yeah.
Yes.
If I focus on that, and the only way I can is, again, by the cross, the crosshairs has to be on the cross.
Yeah.
I mean, when I think about our sanctification, our justification, all of it is because the cross is at the center of everything.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad you said that. That was kind of leading into our second kind of main point that ties in with all we're talking about here. It's like this recognition of, oh my goodness, we're so filthy, we're so dirty. I mean, Paul, who is Paul at this point? I mean, he's been hitting it hard, moving around, starting churches, doing things, following the Lord. And he's like, I'm a wretched man. There's nothing good in my flesh.
Yeah.
And I think what we have to recognize is that we recognize and acknowledge that failed, but then repent in grace. Mm-hmm. Not repent in, oh, I'm going to make promises and do better. Yeah. But repent in grace and remember those promises, those rights that we have as believers. You keep going. You're doing great.
No, man. I'm just soaking it all in right now because I think that's important. It's okay to say, you know what, I'm wretched. Paul did it. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say, man, I'm rotten. It's okay because I think all of that in light of the cross or in the shadow of the cross, if you will,
yeah.
Then, man, we're all driven to our knees, right? But also, we also know that because of that cross, even in the shadow or outside the shadow of the cross, even in our 2020 or 2021, even when the vision is blurry,
mm-hmm.
man, that fact that we're still sanctified
mm-hmm.
through Christ because of the cross, because of the death, burial, and resurrection. And I think Paul uses chapter 8 to drive that home that,
oh,
that
yeah.
we are wretched. We are filthy sinners. But man, we're made worthy by the cross.
Oh yeah, I mean first You're, verse.
Yeah.
Therefore.
therefore,
no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus.
Yes, there is.
Because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus sets you free from the law of sin and of death.
So even though I recognize my wretchedness, sometimes I need to do that.
Yeah.
I don't need to wallow in my wretchedness, and Paul did, and that's why.
Right.
It's there.
Yeah.
Man, we are victorious.
Well, he sandwiches it right between 6 and 8.
Absolutely, man. What a sandwich.
Not just because you know. 7's not in between 6 and 8 just because when they put chapters in because 7 comes after 6. It's in there because Paul wrote it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's God's grand design. Mm-hmm. You know, even if Paul, and I think Paul knew because, again, could you imagine how in touch with God Paul was?
Mm-hmm.
But even, you know, that has to be God. That's a God thing.
Oh, yeah. I think God knew we would need this. He knew there'd be, okay, you're riding high. You're actually moving and you're acting in grace and because of that you can even be distracted by that spiritual high.
Yeah.
You can even be distracted by good things.
Yeah.
That you end up taking your eyes off the cross.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Holy Spirit. You know, that's the what leads us into our point 3, which is relying on the Spirit. Did we already say that? That's
mm-hmm. yeah, okay, relying on the Spirit.
When you want to refocus,
you got to recognize your filth. Repent in that grace, mm-hmm. not that powerless sanctification garbage.
Right.
You got to repent in grace, knowing that it's God who's broken those chains. And then, I totally forgot what we just said.
Rely on the Spirit.
When moving forward, you got to rely on the Spirit.
Because you realize that filth and you repent from your sin, and then you accept that grace that God has already freely given to mm-hmm. you.
Right.
And you soak that in. But yet, here is our guidance counselor coming into play, because through that power of sanctification, we get this Holy Spirit that can help maneuver us through this. You know, and I like how, coming back to verse 7, it's like verse 7 is just like, had 1 through 8 just like all packed in it. But in chapter 7, he says verse 6, he says, but now we have been released from the law, since we have died to what held us, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old letter of the law. And it's like we have been made new in Christ, okay? And so mm-hmm. we've accepted that grace, and we're a new creation. You know, we are this new being that is of the Spirit, of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives within us, and that is the driving factor that helps to rejuvenate us and that guides us and that counsels us. And so whenever we have those distractions, whenever we have those things, that Spirit is there to put us back on track. We have to rely on the Spirit to continue reminding us of that grace, to continue reminding us to keep our eyes on the cross.
And I love. I'm going to jump back to chapter 4.
Good.
I love that the way that Paul puts this. He gives us two guys here, Abraham and David. And you're talking about Abraham. This is before the law. You know, how can anybody be justified by the law? Abraham was justified. Mm-hmm. The New Testament talks clearly about that. Paul talks about it here. James talks about it in his letter. He talks about Abraham being justified. That's before the law. He says if Abraham was justified by works, then he has something to brag about. But not before God. Mm-hmm. For what does the scripture say? It says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. And so I think we got to remember that reliance upon the Spirit, that grace got you in, and it's grace that keeps you there. Mm-hmm. It's not grace gets you in the door, and to stay all of a sudden in God's good graces, you have to, yes, there's work for the believer to do. But your standing with God is not dependent upon your works.
Right. Right. Well, I like what you said, too, a minute ago. You're talking about new law. Well, there is a new law. Mm-hmm. The new law is not it is not me versus the law. It's the Holy Spirit versus the law. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there's really a new struggle, not just a new law. And I was looking at that again in chapter number 8. It deals with that. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the first four.
Yeah.
The new law is the Holy Spirit versus the law. The new struggle is the Holy Spirit versus the flesh. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So
Paul really just kind of drives that home to us as well. I mean, it gives us a brand new.
Yeah, I love that. In chapter 7, it's him against his own flesh.
Yes.
And then 8 comes along. He's like, oh, no, this ain't really what the fight is. It ain't me against my flesh. Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit against my flesh. Yes. And we know who's winning that one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, anytime I hear something like that, I always think back to that song that we sing, Raise a Hallelujah. And so he says, mm-hmm. I raise a hallelujah, heaven comes to fight for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
We have that spirit of heaven. We have the power of a million guardian angels in us, living in us every single day, battling those demons, helping us fight, helping us keep our eyes on the cross, helping us stay above water. And that's amazing and that's powerful. But one thing that I notice that Paul does that I think is really cool, especially for today's day and age, and he ends it, and which we're only going half the book of Romans today because it's just so big and so much. But I do want to skip into the last chapter of Romans really quick and just read one thing out of Romans 16 that says, "Now to him who has the power to strengthen you according to my gospel." Mm-hmm. Okay, so Paul leads off this book.
I can't
with
believe I
gospel.
Forgot to reference this earlier.
Paul leads off this book with the gospel. Okay, like Pastor James saying, like he starts off this book and he's just like all hippie dude all day. He's just skipping around, just like, oh man, like the gospel, it's so awesome. And he starts with this gospel. He ends with it in the same way. And I think that that's so interesting, especially in today's times, because I just threw out some random stats for you. They did a study. I can't remember who it was from. Me and Chuck had talked about this. I can't remember what it was cited. You can look it up for yourself if you don't believe me. But, you know, I researched thoroughly. But and I can't remember who it was. But they had researched.
Harvard.
Was it Harvard?
I don't know.
That sounds pretty good.
Anytime,
yeah, let's say Harvard.
Here's the deal. When you know there was a study, you just say Harvard.
People believe it. Okay. No, but I was doing some research.
And if they ask when, you say this is just a few years ago.
Well, it was a specific research group that researched numbers and the analytics.
For clarity's sake, everybody, it was not Harvard.
But. It was not Harvard, no. But they researched numbers on like press, free speech, news media, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they had did some studies that 90% of the news that we hear in today's world is bad news. Mm-hmm. 90% is bad news. And they said that...
Yeah, and they did some pretty intricate studies with it, even so much as like setting up cameras with eye movement recognition software.
Eye recognition.
And it was like people scanning screens, and it didn't matter how much good news they put on the screen. People's eyes, they always go to news.
Well,
and the people
was...
came away with the impression it could have been 50% good news, 60% a majority good news. But they came away with the impression that it was a majority bad news. Because that was all they focused on.
They broke it into thirds, and they had put one part good news, one part neutral news, and one part bad news. And so they made them all evening. And they let them go down through there, and they just told them, read these articles for 5 minutes. They didn't tell them what to read. And so through this software recognition, they had learned that every single one of them read more of the bad news. And when they asked them what they thought about the article, they'd say, I wish I had more good news. When there was the exact same amount of good news as bad news, except they chose to read the bad news. And they just found it really interesting. But a bunch of statistics like that, it was really, really cool. And there was actually another journalism place that had done another study where they turned all their news media sites to good news for one day. And their ratings had dropped by 2/3 for that day. They did all good news. They did no bad news stories. They did all good news stories for a single day for 24 hours. And their ratings.
Nobody checked it out.
Nobody checked it out. Nobody viewed it. Their ratings dropped by 2/3 for that good news. But I just say that because the gospel means the good news. The gospel is the good news.
Amen.
It is. Yeah, okay? It is the good news.
And what the cool thing about this is that news media groups nowadays will even twist the good news. Okay. And so when we have these news,
you can have a good story.
They will take something that sounds bad or something that somebody said.
And that's the headline.
That's the headline.
Yeah.
To get
even if it has a good ending.
And that's what makes Paul's story in Romans so cool is that Paul doesn't start with the bad news. Paul doesn't necessarily just start with, you guys are dirty, rotten sinners, and you guys are all going to hell if you guys don't see Jesus. Paul starts with, and you know, if you know Paul's story, he was a Pharisee, basically, I guess.
He was a Pharisee,
and he was
super zealous
and just super
persecutor
rules,
of the church. Tried to snuff it out.
Christians, yeah, tried snuffing it out, and then he turns Paul, and so he starts off Romans with Paul, the servant of Christ. And he goes through this whole thing. He's like, I'm a slave.
I really
want to
make this illustration because it's always been, I think it's been true for years in our nation, but probably never more true than right now. I mean, Paul becoming a Jesus follower would be like you being a Republican and on your way to work tomorrow, you have some miraculous experience and the next thing, you're a Democrat now. And not only are you a Democrat, you go into the office and you try to convince all your Republican friends to become Democrats.
Yeah.
Or vice versa, whatever the listeners are and everything. If you're a Democrat, all of a sudden on your way to work, you become a Republican and you try to convince all your Democrat friends to become Republicans. This was Paul.
Yeah.
He was persecuting, literally trying to end this movement. Mm. And all of a sudden, literally one day, everything changed.
But you know what oozes of Paul is really what should ooze of all of us is what you said. Paul considered himself during those times, even though that he had perceived power, to be in bondage.
Mm. And yes.
Paul starts every verse of the Pauline epistles, and it continues almost in every verse.
Almost every one of them,
is this bondage. But he goes, a lot of times in the same verse, he goes from bondage of the old man to the liberty of the new.
Yes.
It's a constant theme with Paul. And that's why I love reading Paul so much, is because, I mean, Paul really does shine a light constantly on this bondage that he was in to his liberty as a
new.
Even in prison, Paul had more liberty in
prison. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I love what he says. He says, the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life. And I think, you know, the way that Paul would put it, he's like, I went from being a slave to sin and a slave to, and really not, like you said, in bondage by all these things, even though I had more authority and could basically go do whatever I want. I was in more bondage then. So, but I go from being a slave to all that to being a slave of Jesus Christ. But in being a slave to Jesus is really where I'm free.
There was more liberty being bound in shackles in a dungeon than to be in a leader, a Pharisee, and being in bondage.
Yeah.
Think about it. That's pretty awesome to think about that.
Well, it's been, I mean, how much time we got, Chuck?
We're only at 42.
42 minutes. Man, we could talk all day. Let's go.
We're only at 42.
I meant to ask how long y'all guys normally do this.
We just roll. It's anywhere from 40 to about an hour.
Yeah, anywhere.
If you keep their attention for 40 minutes, you do a lot better than I do preaching.
It's conversational. Dude, we have talked about that. Oh, my word. We're like, you know what? We could do this and not hold people's attention for 20 minutes with one person on a stage. But you put other people in the mix, and it gets conversational, and man, it kind of holds people's attention.
Well, yeah, but
we like hearing all the different perspectives. It's a lot of fun to do it that way.
That's good.
I really like what Caleb was saying there. How Paul ends this, he's like, "To him who has power to strengthen you," and then he's like, "Okay, so how's he going to do it? God has the power to strengthen us. How's he going to do it? How is God going to get through to you in 2021? According to the gospel." And Paul even says, my gospel. It was personal. It was personal for Paul. He had the cross in his crosshairs.
Yes, he did.
And he was trying to refocus these people around it. And he says, according to the revelation of the sacred secret kept silent for long ages. He said, we've been waiting for this. There were people who looked forward to this and didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it now. He said, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures according to the command of the eternal God to advance the obedience, not of the law, of faith. Among all nations, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to Him be the glory forever. Amen. That's how he finishes that,
and it's beautiful because it results back perfectly to everything that he's said through Romans. It flows perfectly, and that's the beauty about Paul, man. He always he doesn't always just end with the gospel. He doesn't always just include the gospel, but he always begins with the gospel. Okay, it starts with the gospel. Okay, and so I think that's a good challenge for us all in 2021. I mean, you have to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, what's distracting you in 2021? Yeah.
It's January 19th.
Okay, and so what?
January 19th. You've got a lot of year left.
You do. You have plenty of year left.
Well, I hope you do. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. With what time? I mean, you never know how much time you have left.
But no, what is distracting you? What is the distraction that's in your life that's keeping you from the cross, from hitting your mark? Okay, we have a goal, and we have a promise from God, and it's to get back to that gospel. Okay, we need as a church, as Christians.
You got to recognize your sin. You got to be honest with yourself.
You got to recognize your sin. You got to recognize your filth and put it ahead of you and repent from it.
Repent in that grace and then rely on the Spirit. I mean, and ask yourself, because everything right now, everything that's happening right now, everything about 2020, at some point in our life, it's just going to be a story.
Mm.
It may be a painful story. It may be a great story. But everybody, everything that's happening that we're doing right now in our lives, at some point in our life, it's just going to be a story that we tell.
Yeah.
And so ask yourself, what kind of story do you want to tell? And is the gospel woven in every strand of it?
Well, guys, thank you guys for joining us back. We had Pastor James with us today. Awesome having him on. He's a super fun guy, keeps it energetic. Honestly, I'm surprised he stayed on track this much, because that was a topic of conversation earlier with Chuck. Was like, I don't know if it's going to be okay, because...
Oh, dude, I was like, this is going to be fun. Roller coaster.
I got ADHD. Pastor James got ADHD.
I
was like...
Right now, man, I'm ready to get these headphones off. I'm like, okay, we're done.
No, well, I told Chuck, I was like, no, maybe the ADHD will cancel each other out. And he was like, no, dude, it's going to be a world.
No, it just amplifies together.
No, it worked out good, though.
Yeah, it's been fun. I really enjoyed it. I appreciate you guys doing this. I think
we're going to have to catch you, like, at 10 o'clock one day in the morning.
Oh, no, man.
On coffee.
That's a lot of coffee.
After he's got the coffee in.
That'd be a fun time.
That would be.
Guys,
but we'll have Pastor thank James you, yes. back again. Be looking forward to that. We'll let you know when that's coming. Thank you guys for listening again. You can find us on iTunes and Anchor,
and Pocket Cast, Spotify. iTunes is our big one. Good news, we're gonna be starting back up the YouTube series here in a little bit. We've actually
got a new camera.
Yeah, we've slacked off on the live events, but we will be putting back up the videos on YouTube. Got a new camera going for that, so that's gonna be good.
We don't have to look pretty when we just do audio.
It's gonna spoil us a little bit, but no, that's good. Stay with us, guys. Stay tuned back for next time. We're going to be doing the last part of Romans, okay? So
yeah, literally, specifically, we kind of narrowed that. It's just going to be a few, just what, 3-4 chapters?
Yeah, like 14 through 16, I think. Something like that, Yeah, so if you guys want to,
today
we kind of
talked
in,
about the refocusing on the gospel for individual believers, and the last three chapters is really the refocusing of the gospel for churches.
For the church, yes. And so that's what we're going to be hitting on next time. So if you guys want to go ahead and get a... quick sneak peek of that, then go ahead and go read Romans 14 through 16. If you haven't already, read Romans 1 through 10. Catch up with us. You guys need to be reading it for yourself. I hope you guys are following along on Colossians, Philippians, James, and now Romans. Keep reading along with us. But until then, we'll see you guys next time, and thank you guys for listening to Crosswalk.